In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today is October 18th, year 2009. It's the 20th Sunday after Pentecost, but we're celebrating the feast day of the great St. Luke, great evangelist of our Lord and author of one of the Gospels. We'll start out with, as always, start out with the Our Father, Hail Mary, and Glory Be. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, earth as it is in heaven. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, forever and ever. Amen.
All right, today's sermon is going to deal with a very important topic that we were touching upon in the last 2 weeks. It's a very important topic because the most vulnerable people in the world are the ones that can be most seduced and deceived and fall under the prey of the devil. And that's why we, as we've been saying already, even it's a Catholic dogma that even Catholics are not to be obedient to their superiors if their superiors try to tell them to do something sinful against God's natural law or against the laws of the church or against the dogmas of the Catholic Church, or if their parents are doing anything to endanger their souls or lead them onto the road to hell. We're going to talk about in this sermon, particularly the most vulnerable, which are children, and when they must not obey their parents. This is very important. Us Catholics already know we're not obeying a man that almost the whole world believes is a pope. And the reason we're not obeying him is because we know that even if we can even rebuke true popes, let alone if you have a pope that pretends to be a pope and he's a heretic. It will be our job then to denounce the so-called pope as a heretic, and therefore he cannot be the pope because a public heretic cannot hold an office in the Catholic Church. We have to admonish any of our superiors. Children are the most vulnerable because they're living with their parents all the time. And they're in an environment that if they got sinful parents, boy, they're going to have a rough time, but not an impossible time. With God's grace, God will even liberate those children. But those children have to get tough. They have to put God first. They have to put the Catholic faith first. And they have to put their parents second to that. And if their parents are disobeying God's commandments, they have to rise up against their parents. And if their parents are really bad, they have to do all in their power to get out of the house. Remember what our Lord said in Matthew 10:34-37. Think not that I came to bring peace upon the world. I came not to bring peace, but the sword. I came to set a man against his father, a daughter against the mother, a mother-in-law against a daughter-in-law. He says, and a man's enemies will be in his own household. He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. He who loves husband or wife more than me is not worthy of me. Let's remember this. I'm going to give the children to understand the power God has given them to resist anybody on earth that tries to take them away from God, including their father and their mother. And if they're not going to listen, I don't care how young that kid is, he has to rise up against those parents. He has to admonish them. He has to rebuke them for the sake of his own soul. And if he has access to good Catholics, he has to contact them and see what else he can do. And depending on how bad the parents, the children have to try to get out of the whole family together. If it's a heretical thing, or even if it's a evilly, obstinately immoral thing, they can't even pray with those parents or even have temporal communion with them other than what's only necessary. We're going to get into that in this sermon. The first thing we're talking about is the Catholic obligation to resist even a true pope. If he's a bad pope, let alone an apostate anti-pope. We read about St. Paul when he resisted St. Peter to his face. When St. Peter was trying to pass a disciplinary law that would have ended up being a complete disaster and cause a schism by not eating with Gentiles. And so St. Paul went to his face and said, you're wrong, Peter, for having the Jews eating separately from the Gentiles. This is wrong. And he rebuked his superior, Peter the Pope. We read a commentary about this obligation of Catholics to even disobey their superiors when they're trying to tell them to do something sinful and to admonish them. Superiors may be admonished by their subordinates in all humility and charity, so the truth may be defended. This is the basis of Galatians 2:11, on which St. Augustine, St. Cyprian, St. Gregory, and many others who are quoted support this opinion. They teach quite unequivocally that St. Peter, although superior in authority to St. Paul, was admonished by him. St. Gregory rightly states that Peter remained silent so that being first in the hierarchy of the apostles, he might equally be first in humility. St. Augustine writes, by showing that superiors admit that they may be rebuked by their subordinates, St. Peter gave posterity an example of saintliness more noteworthy than that given by St. Paul, although the latter showed nonetheless that it is possible for subordinates to have boldness to resist their superiors and their parents without fear when in all charity they speak out in defense of the truth. And this is a constant practice of the church. We're reading from Sylvester Prius, Dominican from 1523, and he teaches, he says, he, the Pope, would certainly be in sin, and it would be unlawful to allow him to act in such a fashion, and likewise to obey him in matters which are evil. On the contrary, there is a duty to oppose him, an evil Pope, while administering a courteous rebuke. Thus, were he to wish to distribute the church's wealth or Peter's patrimony among his own relatives, were he to wish to destroy the church or to commit an act of similar magnitude, there would be a duty to prevent him and likewise an obligation to oppose and resist him. A real pope. This is a real pope, is an evil pope. How much more shall children have to resist a sinful father or mother that's not consenting to God's will, that is doing something sinful, that is doing something very, very uncharitable and mortally sinful, and the parents, and they're trying to seduce the kids by their bad example, or they're trying to enforce some sinful laws on their children, or they're endangering their souls. That's when children have to get up and resist their parents even. The reason being that he does not possess power in order to destroy, and thus it follows that if he's doing something to destroy, it's lawful to oppose him. It is clear from the proceeding that the Pope, by his commands and by his actions, is destroying the church. He may be resisted and the fulfillment of his commands prevented. You don't even give him human consolation. You don't even greet him if you don't have to. You don't even say hello to him if you don't have to. You don't play games with him. That if a kid's trapped in a parent with a mortally sinful parent who's not listening, they have to obey that parent in all things that are just, but don't communicate with the parent in anything else. Don't be nice to him if you don't have to. Don't speak to him. Avoid him if you have to, but only in the things in which it's necessary to run the house and for the common good of the kid does he obey his parent. And if the parent is really bad, we're going to get into that. Like, for instance, a parent that brings pornography in the house and he just puts it on the TV and he's showing his kids pornography. That's an extreme example, but I'm going to make a point here. Obviously, the kid has to do all in his power to get out of that house. And if the other spouse is against that, they have to rise up against it to their death even. Because you're killing the kid's soul. Now, that's an obvious example. A lot of people sit back and say, well, okay, obviously, if a parent's putting pornography on the TV, that father's a wicked father. And the kids not only have to resist him, they have to do all in their power to get out of the house and rebuke him. Now, that's a sin against the moral commandments of immorality. That's what you call physical fornication. The worst sins are sins against the faith, which is spiritual fornication. When a father denies a dogma, he's not doing his religious duties the way he should. That's even worse than pornography on the TV. Now I'm trying to impress upon the people's minds the great sins of religiously indifferent parents that are either not doing something that they should be doing and neglecting their religious duties, or they're falling into some type of a heresy, or they're not putting their faith in God, or they're embarrassed to profess the faith when they should, or they're failing in their religious prayer life, they're failing in penances, they're failing in studying the faith or teaching it to their kids. This is worse. Children, I want to get that in your minds, that your parent would be worse than if a father put pornography on the TV and shoved it in your face. It's worse. And even the parents, I want to let them understand that when they're slacking this duty, that's how bad that sin is. Spiritual fornication is immensely worse than physical fornication. Here we're learning that you got to resist the Pope even. I'm trying to just tell the people right now how important it is to children. That it's their duty when a parent or any superior starts to try to tell them to do something sinful and they see their father is clearly doing something against God's commandment, that they have to rise up against those parents with all force and admonishment. And don't even speak to that parent other than you have to. Religious communion, St. Paul says that in 1 Corinthians, right? What does he say in 1 Corinthians about bad Catholics? These are people that are still Catholics, but they're bad. 1 Corinthians 5, 9-13. I wrote to you in an epistle not to keep company with fornicators. He says, I mean not with fornicators of the world or with the covetous or the extortioners or the servers of idols, otherwise your needs go out of the world. He says, you're not out in the world. I'm not telling you to avoid them when you got to go out in the world to buy your groceries and go to work. He's talking about those who you're living with and Catholic brothers that are in the community. But now that I have written you, not to keep company with any man that is named a brother, a Catholic, if he's a fornicator or covetous or a server of idols or a railer or a drunkard or extortioner, and I can go on and on, and who loses his temper and has a violent temper, who abuses his family members. You can add on a whole list of sins in here, whose not fulfilling his religious duties, who's not praying daily. St. Paul says, with such a one, not so much as to even eat. If it's within the kid's power, even he should say, I don't want to eat on the same table with you. I'll eat up on a countertop. You know, you got to do whatever you got to do to shame your father. And you got to do it first for your own soul, children, because you're responsible for your own souls before God, not even your parents. Your parents are not the primary people in your life. I grew up with a bunch of wicked, sinful devils. My parents were like devils incarnate on earth. And they were leading my soul to hell. I want to give the kids the power that God gives them, that the Catholic Church gives them, to resist sinful parents and to put God first. We read about this also. St. Paul talks about it in 2 Thessalonians 3, 6, 14, and 15. And we charge you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw yourself from every brother walking disorderly and not according to tradition which they have received of us. And if any man obey not our word by this epistle, note that man and do not keep company with him, that he may be ashamed. Yet do not esteem him as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother. He's still Catholic. If your father's in mortal sins against the moral commandments, he's still a Catholic. He's still a brother. He's in the church, but he's obstinately immoral, and he must be avoided in temporal matters, not only religious matters. You're going to read about this in the early days of the church when all the excommunicates, anybody who was excommunicated, and you were excommunicated in those days for sins of adultery, for certain particular sins that were really bad, incurred automatic excommunication. Back then, it was total avoidance, not just in religious matters, because that's dogma. You cannot participate in religious communion with an excommunicated person, anyone, in religious matters, but even in temporal matters. That's why I say to children who are in a family, can't get out of that family. They're trapped under mortally sinful, obstinately evil parents. They have no choice. First of all, the thing you have to avoid them in is all religious communication. If you start praying with your parents and go into religious communication, your parents are heretics or pagans, you're going to fall into heresy. If your parents are obstinately immoral and they're under the ban because you're not allowed to have religious communion with them, you commit mortal sins for being in religious communion with them. It's not heresy, though, because you're still Catholic, but they're obstinately immoral parents. But what you have to do as a child is do everything in your power to only communicate with them in what's necessary. And anything that's not necessary, you do not communicate with your mortally sinful parents. We're going to get into some examples of great young children, boys and girls, who died at the hands of their mortally sinful fathers. Usually fathers more, because they have more power than the mother, physical power even. They lose their temper. They get so angry at the kid, they go out and start killing their own kids. They get so angry at their kids for resisting them. Because mortal sins like that lead to all kinds of other problems. You can't control your temper. You lose your temper. You murmur. You complain. And then you become a real danger to other people physically. We're going to read about a couple of examples of some young children that were persecuted by their own fathers. St. Dimphna, virgin and martyr. The earliest historical account of the veneration of St. Dimphna dates from the Middle Ages of the 13th century under Bishop Guy I of Cambria. Pierre, a canon of the Church of St. Aubert in Cambrai, wrote a Vita of the saint, from which we learn that she had been venerated for many years in the Church of Geel, a province of Antwerp, Belgium, which was devoted to her. The author expressly states that he has drawn his biography from oral tradition. According to the narrative, Dimphna, the daughter of a pagan king of Ireland, her father was a pagan. But if your father is a heretic, it's the same thing as a pagan. He's not Catholic. Same principle. Dimphna became a Christian and was secretly baptized. After the death of her mother, who was extraordinarily a beauty, her father desired to marry his own daughter and commit incest with her. Now, that's an immoral sin. He tried to impose a sin of immorality upon his daughter. It would be the same thing as if trying to watch, have your kid watch pornography. Who was just as beautiful, but she fled with the priest Gerbenus and landed at Antwerp. She ran away from her father. And she did the right thing, and I'm sure God cleared the path for her. Because this was a mortal sin her father was trying to impose upon her. Thence, they went to the village of Geel, where there was a chapel of St. Martin, besides which they took up their abode. The messengers of her father, however, discovered their whereabouts. The father betook himself thither and renewed his offer. He tried again. He found her, caught her, and said, I want you to be my wife. Trying to marry his own daughter so he can fornicate with her. Seeing that all was in vain, he commanded his servants to slay the priest while he himself struck off the head of his daughter. Killed his own daughter. See, children, don't put your ultimate faith in your parents. I don't care even if they're good Catholics. If they're good Catholic parents, thank God for that. But they can go bad tomorrow. God is your ultimate father. Mary is your ultimate mother. Please always remember that. children, I don't care how old they are, when they have the use of reason, they have to resist sinful parents. St. Barbara was also killed by her father. According to these narratives, which are essential to saying, Barbara was the daughter of a rich heathen named Discorus. He was another non-Catholic, her father. She was carefully guarded by her father, who kept her shut up in a tower in order to preserve her from the outside world. An offer of marriage, which was received through him, was she rejected. Before going out, he wanted her to marry some pagan. Before going on a journey, her father commanded that a bathhouse be erected for her use near the dwelling during his absence. Barbara had three windows put in it as a symbol of the Holy Trinity instead of two originally intended. When her father returned, she acknowledged herself to be a Christian. Upon this, she was ill-treated by him and dragged before the prefect of the province, Martianus, who had her cruelly tortured and finally condemned her to death by beheading. The father himself carried out the death sentence. But in punishment for this, he was struck by lightning on the way home and his body consumed. See? And where did St. Barbara go? Straight to heaven. And her father went straight to hell. See, children? Your parents can't give you everlasting life. Only Jesus Christ can, and His Holy Catholic Church and our Blessed Mother. Do not put your ultimate faith in your parents. I say this today because most of the world today, when we convert children, 99.999% are going to be living in evil families, which means with evil fathers and mothers. And even when we have converts, we're going to have a lot of bad Catholic parents. Fathers and mothers who are really Catholic, but they're obstinately, mortally sinful, religiously indifferent, and they're not carrying out their religious duties the way they should. They're loving the world more than they love God. They're throwing off the cross of Christ. They're afraid to profess the faith the way they should. They're not praying the way they should. They're not doing penance the way they should. They're not studying their Catholic faith the way they should. They're not talking about it the way they should. This is all so evil. It's like murdering the soul, not only your own souls, but the souls of your children. That's why your children have to stand up and say, Father, I will not obey you in this. And every day you're doing this sinful thing, I'm going to remind you of it. Every day I'm going to tell you, you've done something sinful, Father. You've done something sinful. You're going to put it in his face. And if he's really bad, you may end up like St. Barbara Diffna. He'll cut your head off, or he'll smack in your head, he'll punch you, he'll unjustly punish you. So what? Offer it up to the cross, children, if your father beats you for a wrong cause. God sees what's happening to you. He'll eventually deliver you. But you have to, don't give in. Think about the great martyrs here we're talking about. Let's read about St. Hermenegild. He was a young boy. I don't know how old he was when he died, but his father was an Arian heretic. He was the king. And he had his own son killed. Let's read about St. Hermenegild. Pope St. Gregory the Great speaks about in his dialogues. It was the Feast of Easter at an early hour of the night when all was still. His wicked father sent an Arian bishop to him with this message, that if he, Hermenegild, would receive communion from the hands of the heretic bishop, he should be restored to favor. True to his creator, the man of God gave a merited reproof to the Arian bishop and with holy indignation rejected his sinful offer, for though his body lie prostrate in chains, his soul stood on ground beyond the reach of tyranny. The bishop therefore returned whence he had come. The Arian father raged, and straightway sent his lictors, bidding them to repair to the prisons of the unflinching confessor of the Lord, and murder him on the spot. They obeyed, they entered the prison, they cleft his skull with a sword, they took away the life of his body, and slew what he, the slain one, had sworn to count as vile. In other words, Hermenegild said, kill my body. My body means nothing. Remember our Lord said in Mark 8:34, he that will save his life shall lose it, but he who shall lose his life for the Son of Man's sake shall save it. Don't worry about it. If you have an unjust parent and they unjustly punish you and they beat you, offer it up to the cross, but don't give in. Hold your ground. If your parents are doing something mortally sinful, you must rebuke them, or you're going to share in their sins. You must stand up against them. If it's very bad, you must avoid them in religious matters. If it's very, very even bad, worse than that, you must avoid them even in temporal matters, which means an unnecessary communication. If it's within your power to get a hold of good Catholics like us, and we can liberate you from those parents, we will do all in our power to get you away from your parents. And the Catholic Church always teaches this. It's the obligation of a Catholic wife even to spy on her own husband if he's doing something against the faith or morality, and report it to the church. Children are supposed to spy on their parents if their parents do something wrong and tell the religious leaders. That's our obligation and duty. You'll read that throughout the history of the church and the Catholic Inquisitions. Let's say you have a good Catholic mother and she saw her husband going out at night and she followed him and she saw him going into a Lutheran cenacle so he can hear Lutheran sermons. It's her obligation to tell the priest, my husband is going to Lutheran cenacles. He's gravely suspect of being a heretic. My husband is watching pornography on TV in front of all the kids. You got to fight to your death on that one. You'd have to tell the whole church. The priest at least let him try to resolve it first privately, and if it doesn't happen then, to rebuke him in front of the whole church. Tyrants are usually yelling at their kids for all the wrong reasons, and never yelling at them for all the right reasons. And they scandalize their children, and then their children become more and more disobedient because the father's making no sense. He rants, he raves, he goes on off on tangents, he's argumentative, he likes to fight, he loses his temper. This is so evil, this is such a bad example, that you're going to even prevent your kid from listening to good things you may want to tell them. It's a great, great, great evil. The Catholic Church has never accepted and never will. The Church doesn't, and good Catholics don't accept it. Because this is rampant in the world today. Why is this sermon being given? Because we're directing it to a lot of children who are going to be converting in the future, and our own brothers right now that have children. This is what you're going to expect when you convert. Even when you become Catholic, and someone in the family is not as good a Catholic as another. I don't care if it's your father, your grandfather, your great-grandfather, your great-great-grandfather. It don't matter how old you are. Old people go to hell just like young people. I don't care if you live to 2,000 years old. Like before the flood, they lived to 900 and 1,000 years old. If you're evil, you're going to hell. That has nothing to do with age. Lucifer is very old, and he's in hell. Judas is about 2,000 years old and he's in hell. That has nothing to do with age. So this false obedience to old people and superiors has to go out the window. You've got to look at God first. You've got to look at the teachings of His Catholic Church. And when your parents are clearly doing something notoriously sinful, you must rebuke and admonish them. And if they don't listen and they're obstinate, then you have to start to avoid them. It is my duty, because I'm the leader of the Catholic Church now, I'm the only one that I know about here and that we're teaching it from truth or consequences to make sure these laws are enforced, especially Mary's little remnant, which is my religious order. But I will tell you, I don't have to be the superior. I can talk to a little kid, and he's got the same power I got to do this. If you're just a regular layman that's plowing the fields and you're a good Catholic and you come across something that's sinful, it's your duty to do what I'm doing. I don't need to have any juridical authority or jurisdiction to do what I'm doing. This is a natural Catholic obligation. It's even natural law with pagans. God has a natural law that even the pagan out in Mozambique that never heard of the gospel should resist the father if he tries to rape the daughter. That's natural law kind of stuff. But when you get into the Catholic Church, you have no choice. If you want to save your soul, you have to obey God's strict commandments. And that means you have to obey all His commandments, and you're in another arena, as St. Paul says. When you come in among us, you're under a strict rule, because that's the only way you can be saved. Those who are outside, pagans, who are never Catholic, treat them less severely, because they don't know. They've never committed themselves. When you've committed yourself to the Catholic Church, and either you're fell away and you're a fallen away Catholic, or you're still Catholic, but you're a bad Catholic, you fall under severer penalties, because you scandalize people. You scandalize other people by your bad example also. I say this, you got to look at the verses, children. This is the big fight I had in the monastery with that apostate diamond head snake. What's his name? The diamondback snake? His name's Michael Diamond. It's really Frederick Diamond. Well, we were in the monastery. He wasn't holding the city of conscience position. He was denying that public heretics can't be popes. All right, he was denying that. And he was trying to put me under false obedience to him. I said, sorry, Brother Michael. I called him Brother Michael at that time. He's not a real brother. He's not a real Benedictine. I said, you disobey a man. He believed J.P. II was the real pope at that time. I said, you're disobeying a man who you believe is the real pope for these types of sins he's committing. You expect me to obey you then for when you're sinning? Oh, no. I will only obey my superiors in things that are not sinful. In this, you are committing mortal sins against the faith. You're denying dogmas. I resisted him to his face, and that's the reason I got kicked out of the monastery. But it applies to any position you're in. It applies to children. Now, I speak this to children and opposed to their fathers, the weakest to the most powerful in the family. Let them roar at you like a lion or a bear. Let them lop your head off. Who cares? He's only going to get himself in deeper in the eyes of God. All right? I want to let the parents know that you don't have true dominion over your kids. They're really entrusted to you by God, provided you do the right thing. God created their souls, and God is their ultimate father, and God's watching everything you do with those kids in that house. and you don't do your job right, that's threatening that kid and putting them on the road to hell, you're responsible before God. And if that kid falls into mortal sin because of the bad example of their parents, I tell those children, if you want to get right, if you want to love God, go with good Catholics and leave your mortally sinful parents, because you will never become a good Catholic as long as you stay in that house, because they will drag you to hell with them. And do all in your power to come with us. If you're too young and you can't get out of the house, pray to God, carry your cross, offer it up, and wait till you're old enough to get out of the house, and then leave. Even run away if you could. Sneak away and take a bus. And then if the police have to send you back home again, then you go back home and run away again. What did Daphne do here? She ran away from her father. Oh, he caught her, and he killed her. So what? She saved her soul. She's in heaven for all eternity. Let's get our focus on straight here on our priorities. We don't want no false obedience in here. Lucifer was the highest angel in heaven. And then when he rebelled, he used his authority over the other angels to say, I'm above you, follow me. And they said, no, you're not above God, though. The good angel said, even though you're the highest angel in heaven, you're not God. And if you disobey God, even if you're my superior, I will not follow you. A lot of the angels went to hell because they gave false obedience to Lucifer. Just if we gave false obedience to a wicked pope, a real pope who's wicked, and we didn't rebuke him, we didn't admonish him, we didn't avoid him if necessary, we share in that wicked pope's sins. And that's a pretty good example too, because when you have a Catholic society, when let's say you have a wicked monarch, a bad Catholic king, it's almost like a child against a father, because he's got the army and the power against you. Who cares? Spit in his face. Rise up against him. We had many tyrants. And that's the definition of a tyrant. When you see in your parent the signs of pride, when you've never seen your parent honestly, humbly admit that he was wrong, or if he says he was wrong, he then backs off on it and he tries to pretend he wasn't wrong. He doesn't tell his children, I was wrong. I'm going to teach you how to be humble. I was a very bad sinner. I was wrong. May God forgive me. If you don't act like that, you're a prideful, arrogant person that has no hope to be saved. Pride is the beginning of all sin. Ecclesiasticus 10:15. That's pride. These are the kind of people, even I say it. You watch them around life. They like to fight with people too. They like to cause arguments. They're argumentative. Anytime they're around, they want to fight with you. Anytime you're going to bring up an argument, they're going to make a fight out of it. There's other people like that. These are all things that are bad. And you scandalize your kids by this behavior. And a lot of times the parents wonder why the kid's not obeying their just commands, because you already scandalized the kid. You frustrated them. And God's also working against your kid to rise them up against you. God even says in the scriptures in Matthew 10:21, even evil children are going to rise up against their parents and put them to death. In Matthew 10:21, what's that all about? That's by the hand of God, because you've got evildoers punishing evildoers. I'm trying to speak to these children to tell them, don't listen to what the government's telling you. Don't listen to what everyone else is telling you about. You've got to obey your parents in all things. No, you don't. No, you don't. If that parent is mortally sinful and harming you, you don't. Now today, so many people are watching pornography, that example probably doesn't even work, because they all like it. Right? I said this to one woman whose husband was watching pornography in front of her kids. She knew. She got away from him, though. SSB 10 priest or somebody was almost telling her she still has to stay with the family. I said, they're known to say that us true Catholics are dividing families. Well, we do. God divides families. I said, you mean to tell me he told you to stay in that house while that father's putting pornography on the TV? You know, one time a kid looks at pornography is enough. He could be addicted for life and never come out from under it. Just one time. Let alone every day. Are you telling me that's not grounds for getting up? And you got to fight to your death on that one. I really say it. Even go out and get a gun if the government's not helping you. So I'm going to blow his brains out. But I'm not going to let this happen. My kid's going to go to hell. And he may never come out from under it. Where's the common sense even on the natural law with these bad Catholics? And these are SSB 10 are not even Catholic. They're fallen away Catholics. They're apostates. They're unbelievable, the things these people say. I made that connection with the apostate Bishop Piverunis in the CMRI. I said, if you understand that that's evil, then why don't you understand that sins and against the faith are even more evil than pornography? Heresy! He's a heretic! Apostasy! He's an apostate! He even admits that rat man and the Vatican II Church is not Catholic, yet he says you can go to the masses they offer, as long as it's the Tridentine Mass and it's a valid Mass. Where is this abhorrence for heresy? You see what I'm saying with these people here? Alright, so children, this sermon is directed toward you. I don't care how big your father is, he gave you the size of Goliath. Do you remember what happened to Goliath? Young David? I don't know how old he was. What did they say? 14 he was or something? I don't know how old he was, but he popped him right between the eyes with a rock and knocked him down. David said, even if you kill me, so it be. I'm not going to let him blaspheme God. Let your parent kill you. Let him unjustly punish you. You'll get a lot of grace from God. And the woman, too, is vulnerable, too, if the husband's the bad one. Usually that father has more power, he's a good one, a little bit, to get up there and do the right thing. But even the woman cannot give blind obedience to her husband. Your husband is going to send you to hell if you're a wife and you're not agreeing with this, but you let your husband get away with this. You better speak up and you better do the right thing. And I say to the husband who's doing the wrong thing, the father who's doing the wrong thing, you better wise up. But the first concern is for the children and then for your own soul. That's what you just read here. When you treat a parent like that and you avoid him and all that, he knows how bad he is. It's a chance for him to save his own soul. You know, obstinate sinners have been sinning for so long, don't even realize they think that it's normal what they're doing. You can be addressing things to them. I don't think it's that bad. Yeah, because you have no fear of God. You don't really fear hell the way you should. You don't really understand how evil it is to let your children get away with not doing their religious duties. You know, our concupiscence always bucks against us anyway. And if you have a parent who's lax and lets the kid get away with, they're going to become more and more and more and more lax. So let this be a warning, particularly to all the children, and give them the strength, and to bad parents even. Their responsibility before God, even. I spoke about that last week. But I'm speaking a bit to the children now. Either you do the right thing, or you have no chance to save your souls. You're all going to go to hell along with your family. Listen to what I'm telling you, and if you know this is the Catholic truth, this is God's commandments, this is His dogmas, God will give you the grace. Mary will give you the grace. Go and say your prayer and say, God, you're my father, Mary, your mother. My earthly father is a bum right now. He's prideful. He's a tyrant. He's wrong. Give me the strength to rise up against him. And then pray for his conversion too. And open up his heart so he may change his life and become a good Catholic. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
This recording was produced by Mary's Little Remnant, 302 East Joffrey Street, Truth or Consequences, New Mexico, 87901-2878. And can be accessed on my website at www.johnthebaptist.us.